Hey guys, real quick, the point of this podcast is to hear stories about people navigating within the Bitcoin industry. So if you're looking to work in Bitcoin, or if you're a Bitcoin company looking to hire at the moment, we are the leading recruiting firm focused on the Bitcoin industry. Head over to our website and learn more at www.bitcointalent.co. Hello and welcome to the Bitcoin Talent Code podcast. I'm your host, Eric Podwaczki, and today I'm joined by my friend Zach, who is an account exec at Casa. Zach, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Eric. Excited to dive in, man. I tell people that working in Bitcoin was what made me realize that you didn't have to hate your job to earn a living. So I'll preface with that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll definitely dive more into that. And I'm excited to, because I felt the same exact way. I hated my fiat job and I hated showing up to work every day. And now that I've been working in Bitcoin almost the past 3 years now, life's been amazing. So yeah, hopefully we can give some more advice to people listening to get them a job in the industry as well. So before Bitcoin, I'm curious, what did you do before that professionally? And even where did you go to school and what did you study?
Yeah, so I started out as a computer engineering major. And like most freshmen in college, woke up to the realities of studying and partying at the same time.
Yeah, it's hard.
And as luck would have it, my TA, or you know, the student coach, said, well, you need to declare a major and your GPA is not high enough. So the only major you can declare is economics. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I don't really like economics, but I don't want to go to school for more than 4 years. So let's do it. And wound up studying economics at LSU, graduated there, started the econ club, kind of, you know, forced, embraced it. I was like, well, this is what I'm doing, so I might as well make the best of it.
Yeah.
And went down like the gold bug rabbit hole. I was a portfolio manager for the LSU endowment for 2 years. And my sector that I managed was the materials and commodities sector. So I learned all about gold and silver and how the money was fake, essentially, yeah. Right? It was like right after the... Exactly. And I was like right after the 2008, it was like 2012, 13, kind of, we were still learning about what happened in just a few years ago and realizing the cognitive dissonance. It was like this Keynesian economics stuff that I'm reading in the textbooks doesn't work because I'm watching CNBC and that's saying the different, you know, different story here. So anyway, needed a job though. So I was a Jimmy John's delivery guy because I was on the cycling team. And delivered a sandwich to Merrill Lynch and taped my resume to it. The director happened to have me walk it to his office because usually just leave it at the front desk.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, go bring it to his office. He's busy. So I did. And he was like, wait, what is this? And I was like, that's my resume, dude. I don't want to do this forever.
Yeah.
He's like, you got to come in on for an interview, man. You got some hustle. Spent 3 years at Merrill Lynch grinding, doing asset acquisition for senior advisors, moved over to Denver, Colorado to join a more fintech-based financial firm that was more like not doing it the old school way, right? And at that point is when I really started to learn about Bitcoin being in that more tech financial world.
Sure.
But was kind of beating a dead, you know, banging the drum, not really getting anywhere. They were like, stay in your corner, diversified stocks and bonds is the way. And I was like, well, I kind of feel like it's not. So in 2020, you know, after just years of like, is this really what I'm going to do for my whole career? Decided that, no, it wasn't. And the money was fake. And honestly, I had no idea what I was going to do. I knew that at that time, Bitcoin was really starting to present itself as an alternative to the problem that I was seeing in my day-to-day job. I felt that, like, I can't recommend bonds at 0% interest. I can't recommend stocks at multi-decade high valuations. I can't, you know, the list goes on. And so spent a while looking, 6 months, in fact, and found Casa, which was really a mission to make private key management easy for your everyday person. And that's exactly what I did as a financial advisor. I would take all these complex financial topics and distill them down into plain English. Look, this many stocks, this many bonds, dollar cost average, you know, budget, right? Like making it simple. And so I saw there was a glaring need for that in private key management too. So that's how I kind of stumbled into Casa 2 years ago and I'm still here today. couldn't imagine doing anything else or working in any other industry at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And we'll dive more into Casa as well. But I'm curious, was there a specific moment while you were at, you said you went from Merrill to another fintech company. Was there
Yeah,
a
Person
specific
of
moment?
Capital.
Okay, yeah, when you were working at these firms where you decided I need to work in Bitcoin. Was it the March 2020 crash, or was it like a light bulb moment that made you say,
It
I
was
need to?
after. Yeah, it
Okay.
was after I was studying for the Certified Financial Planner exam for like a year, and I just kept having this back of my mind thought that's like, I don't really like this, and I really don't want to study for this exam. Like, I was like, why? Like, I know this stuff. I don't need a letters behind my name to prove it. Just talk to me. You'll know. And so I was already kind of soured on that like idea of, is this my forever job? And like, I was already 6, 7 years into it and getting credentials and licenses. And so I was letting that sunk cost fallacy kind of continue driving me forward. And when 2020 happened, it was kind of a forcing function that just said, well, no, okay, this is when they sent me that 1200, you know, you got that letter from Trump that was like, my fellow Americans, I was like, this is
I
it, this
remember
is the end.
that.
And I framed it because it was truly, I think it'll be the end with the power of hindsight. So didn't know, but I knew I was interested in Bitcoin. I knew the financial system was screwed. And throughout that time of unemployment, I just went cannonballed in the rabbit hole. I had already been in Bitcoin for years, but gosh, in 2020, I must have read 8 hours a day for weeks and just was like, my brain was just exploding with like realizations, you know, making connections and these like things that I thought were isolated, but were like, wait, they're actually more linked. It's the money.
Would you consider yourself before 2020 a Bitcoiner at all? Were you learning in it?
No.
You're just kind of there, but
No, I wouldn't. In fact, like I had a bunch of shit coins, so I would not consider myself a Bitcoiner, especially like in what I refer to as a Bitcoiner today. Absolutely not. Nothing even
I
close.
think that's very common in the path. At least people I got in, I'd say like 2017, 2018 or so, you were down the
Yeah,
shitcoin
exactly.
trading route, and then you realize that Bitcoin's different. And
Right. You got burned, and being a financial advisor, I was like, oh, diversification. Okay, I got this. Let me diversify into everything that makes me lose money, right? Eventually, I realized Bitcoin is not an investment, it's a savings tool. And then it became much clearer to me. Things started really falling into place where it was confusing before.
So in 2020 now, you decided you want to work in Bitcoin. What was your job search process like? Did you know you wanted to work at Casa specifically, or were you applying to different companies?
I didn't. I wanted to work for a company that wasn't like deeply involved in custody because I realized the moral hazard that custodians presented just being on on that side of the business in the fiat world. I was like, well, sorry, but we're gonna have to wait for our clearing house to, you know, facilitate your trade. I know you want to do it right now, but too bad. And so I knew that like I didn't want to go into that side of the business in this industry, especially considering there was no bailout. So I was like, it's even worse.
You lose it,
And
you
so there
lose
were,
it, right?
right. And I had applied for Swan because they were kind of doing the same thing, like focusing on education and really making like the complicated topic of Bitcoin simple as a savings buy and DCA, like a withdrawal to self-custody. It was very methodical. And Casa did that same thing. And I applied for both and started interviewing at both, but Casa got back to me first, and so sorry, team at Swan. You guys are doing great. But I didn't know that I wanted to work at Casa or a specific Bitcoin company, but I knew I didn't want to work in the side of the business that was affiliated with crypto and the scamminess that I had just been burned by from, you know, bag holding a bunch of altcoins in the last cycle. So I was really lucky. That Casa had a client services role when I was looking, because we have not hired for a role really like that since I applied.
You're doing the best job. They don't need any more.
That's what I,
Was your job search like? I guess more like the interview process. Like, was it just like you submitted your resume and from there you were hired? Like, explain a little more.
So I actually reached out to the director of client services on LinkedIn, who at the time was Hector, and was like, "Hey, I'm a former financial advisor. I see you were also a financial advisor." He was in that industry. He had worked at like some like Morgan Stanley or one of those like names that I had been familiar with. And I was like, I think I could really add a lot of value. I started a, speaking of value, I started a podcast recently called Value Stack. I can probably stack some value there. And he was like, "Okay, cool. Like, I'll forward over your resume, like send it on over." And I did and applied. There was like four or five rounds of interviews. And I think there was a couple dozen, at least more than, I want to say there was more than a dozen, if not two dozen people that applied for this role sort of when I was at during that competing against. And the first role was like kind of a screening role, just like, here's a job. Like, is it what you think it is? Yes. Then I had met with the two people on my sales team, account manager team at that time, and then met with the CEO, Nick, as like a final, hey, like, are you a culture fit? Like, are you on board with the mission? Things like that. And I'd say the things that really stood out to me and my hiring manager told me, like, being from the financial world, I had no Bitcoin experience, right? Like, all I had was I started the podcast a few months prior because I was like, I need something that I can point to. And I know you've done this too. And it works. So anybody listening, work, just create something. Worry about everything else later. Just build because it will pay off.
So true.
I created the podcast just as like, I need something. I need proof of work, right? And shortly thereafter, got the interview pointed to it. Didn't even help me get the job, but it showed the ethic, the work ethic, right? And but what really did it was I reached out to two of my former financial advisor colleagues who knew about my excitement slash enthusiasm about Bitcoin. They just wrote, I asked them if they could write me like a cover letter endorsement, just talking about their experience working with me in a professional client services role with high net worth people, high pressure, high stakes. And then if they could just like say like what they know about Bitcoin, like from like what they know that I know about Bitcoin, right? And hiring manager said I was the only person that did that. Only person that included additional cover letters. They didn't ask for one. I was like, here, I have two references from these people. By the way, I really want this job. And
I
he was
like
like,
that
dude,
one.
that was all I needed. That was all I needed to see. Like, you could have said whatever at that point. We needed hustle.
Setting yourself apart, really, because I hear people over and over again, especially nowadays, you see a job listed, hundreds of people apply to that job. How are you making yourself different from the rest? What are you doing, right? So I'm curious, related to that as well, how did you take maybe your existing skill set, experience in the financial world, and make it applicable to a job in Bitcoin? Was it exactly that, just leveraging your people in the financial world to vouch for you?
I mean, that was a part of it. I think I sort of learned how to translate my experience there, and we talked about this a little bit before we recorded. Like, one of the biggest challenges that people have in personal financial planning is they don't understand it. It's not that it's that hard. It's that it requires time and effort, and it's like esoteric language that they use on purpose so that they make you think you need them so that they can earn a living, which is like, okay, it's fine. I mean, whatever, people got to work, but with Bitcoin, it's in some ways it's similar, where it's like it's not that complicated, Eric. It works the same way every time, and it has since it was started, and it's probably not going to change very much. The user experience around private key management will get easier and easier, but Bitcoin, the protocol, I hope doesn't change.
Yeah, me too.
So, but there's still this glaring need for taking these complicated topics like, what is a UTXO, or what is, how do you figure out the on-chain fees and sats per byte, and what inputs do you combine to maintain on-chain privacy, and oh, what about the coordination setup of the output descriptor for your multisig? Don't lose that public key or your SOL, even if you got the private key. So like, there's just so many things that like you don't know, you don't know, And because Bitcoin is so final, though, when you learn it that you didn't know it, it's over. It's too late. Congratulations. Our great great grandkids are eternally grateful. Yours are eternally angry. But the reality is that like there's zero room for error in Bitcoin. Unlike the fiat world, they can be, oh, undo. So I realize that that is like discouraging adoption. Like it is actively preventing Bitcoin's price from going up. It's actively preventing the adoption from occurring. And the people who need it most are getting scared away from it sooner or than they need to, like they're adopting it later than they otherwise would because of this sort of opacity that exists around Bitcoin custody, Bitcoin use transactions, the whole thing.
Do you
So
blame people
that's
though, to be honest? Because like
no,
thinking about it,
no.
like you're born and raised around this system we're currently in, this fiat system, and now you have to unlearn everything and relearn the Bitcoin way, which is a lot of self-responsibility,
Totally.
self-action. So to me, I don't really blame people. It's more of a learning journey.
No, I don't blame people. It's, I mean, I'm here. I want to help them, you know, and ignorance is bliss to some degree. And like, I am way more paranoid than I've ever been just after working in this, you know, cryptography, cybersecurity industry for a few years. Like, so I can speak to that firsthand, but people need Bitcoin, whether they realize it or not. And I am trying to at least, like, if someone's not going to understand it or why they need it, maybe they don't need it yet. But I am hoping that I can help people get through the barriers of knowledge. That way, when they do realize it, they're not discouraged from adopting it due to some hearsay that actually maybe isn't true. Like, oh, Bitcoin's a scam, or like, oh, it's the blockchain that's the innovation, not Bitcoin. And it's like, well, those things are going to harm you if you keep those in your head for too many years. So, you know, distilling those concepts helps people. But yeah, it's like it's not going to change that much. But people's use of Bitcoin will change greatly. And what I'm fearful of is people all of a sudden needing it, like everybody needing it.
Yeah, all at
And it's
once.
just because of the nature of how final it is, mistakes will be made in a panic. And I just, you know, I don't do this for any other reason than I'm like, I'm trying to help people self-custody their Bitcoin so they can protect themselves from the destruction that unlimited money printing can cause. And if I can also provide for myself and my family by doing so, that's a virtuous cycle that I will do as long as I can, you
I
know?
agree. It's probably a lot more rewarding than your old financial fiat jobs,
Dude,
huh?
I wake up and I'm excited. I get bummed when we have like low volume sales calls days, like in the summer, you know, things get slower because people are on vacation and
You're like, I
stuff.
want to work.
But like, yeah, it's like because I get excited, man. I get recharged talking about Bitcoin, like not even talking about Bitcoin so much, but just talking with Bitcoiners. And because it's not just Bitcoin, it's like we talk about just like things like our worldviews and like where we see the world going and why this movement's so important to us. And it's like, and I'll joke on calls with clients and be like, I get paid for this, you know, like this is like you're paying us for this. And it's like, yeah, but like I know. And like, because they don't get that either, right? Like it's just as enjoyable for them to be able to talk to someone who is on their level,
Yeah,
right?
imagine
Because
talking
they're
to a customer service rep that like understands you and is competent.
exactly.
Crazy, right?
Exactly. It's like, wait, you also think the fiat system is a bunch of BS and like you're also paranoid about somebody trying to break into your home and steal these random words on a piece of paper? Yes, very. So,
I love that. It's one of the best parts about working in Bitcoin too, is surrounding yourself with other people that like-minded individuals. It just makes the workday so much more exciting. I hear more and more people saying that same exact story too. So
And
I'm
all
glad
over the
you're.
world too. All I meet people from all over the world working through Casa, and it's like such a privilege that I remind myself of often, man, because I know how many people hate their job. I was one of them.
I was one of them too.
And I just I like anybody who like I got a cold call from a kid who just graduated college on our sales line this morning. And he was like, I'm looking for an SDR role. And I was like, dude, send me your resume. Cause like, if you're looking for a job that's rewarding, I might be able to help. Right. Cause I know what it's like to be trapped in that other side. And I don't wish that on anybody, man. Like,
nah, me neither.
When you enjoy what you do, it's like, oh, man, life's just different.
Yeah. That's kind of part of this podcast too. It's like, I want to get this message across because so many Bitcoiners feel the same way. When you're working your day to day, like you spend a third of your life in your job, whatever it may be, might as well be something you care about and you find fun and you like being around those same like-minded people. So I'm glad you're able to find that for yourself. I was able to too. Anyone listening right now, that's essentially what you got to do. You got to start a proof of work project, network in the Bitcoin space, talk to people, and then opportunities come to you and you can actually enjoy what you do for a living. And life is just so much happier.
And the networking side is like, I don't even try to network, Eric. Like we met, like I'm just saying what's up to friends, right? And like, that's how we met. And it's like, you just,
let's go into that real quick. So we met at the Bitcoin conference last week and I think I was talking to someone else. You just came up and started talking to us. The other person left, me and you just kept talking. Like we've already been friends for years. And I've seen that over and over again.
Yeah, when you have those shared values, and I think particularly the Bitcoin world is, because it's still somewhat small, I mean, we like to think it's big, but it's pretty small.
Yeah.
There's a lot of a kind of implicit, I guess would be the word, understanding of shared values that like, if I see you talking to a certain person who I know has shared values with me, I'm like, okay, well, they're probably good people. Like, I don't really need to filter very much, like, because I know that if they're friends with them, there's no chance in hell they would be friends with them if they weren't also good people. Right. So
same feeling joining a Bitcoin company too. Once you get in day one, you're like, oh, these are my people. I can be open, be myself around them.
Totally. I make like nerdy Bitcoin jokes in our Slack all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I could not do this anywhere else. This is so great. Like
if you're in a normal company, they'd be like,
yeah, people are like, what? What are you doing, dude?
Yeah. Cool. I love the Bitcoin culture. It's amazing. And I love Bitcoiners too. So let's talk more about what does Casa do exactly? What's the products and services you guys provide to the market?
Yeah, so as of today, we have really one product / service, the vault. Mm-hmm. We have different types of vaults. There's a 3-key vault and a 5-key vault. They're both forms of multi-signature wallets. This just means that rather than constructing a Bitcoin wallet from a single private key, it constructs a Bitcoin wallet from a combination of private keys. And by introducing that, you also create redundancy. So in this case, like the 3-key vault only requires signing off the majority 2 of the keys to move funds. And similarly, the 5-key vault requires 3 signatures of the 5.
Yep.
And this is all standardized like on the Bitcoin protocol. Like there's nothing like if, you know, it's not unique to like proprietary multisig with Casa. But what I think is proprietary-ish is the user experience around it. It's a slick mobile app. It obfuscates a lot of the complexities of creating a multi-signature vault. Like, oh, which Bitcoin address BIP do I use? Do I use native SegWit or nested SegWit? Or, what cosigner threshold do I choose? Should I choose 3 of 5? Should I choose 4 of 5? Well, all this stuff has been thought out already. What about combination of hardware and software keys? Or do I do all hardware? Where do I put the hardware keys? So having a very tried and true methodical process for managing Bitcoin private keys and soon to be Ethereum private keys is, and really soon to be many things private keys, because Google 2 weeks ago put out a blog post that said the beginning of the end of the password is here. And just today now you can create pass keys, which are private keys. Stored in the secure enclave of your phone. And this is how we will log in the future, right? And so where there is a private key, there are two things. There is a need for a good user experience around managing said private key. And for the most important types of data that are secured by your private key, maybe your identity, certainly your Bitcoin wealth, among other things, there's needs to be redundancy in place because people will make mistakes, right?
Yeah.
And due to the nature of private keys finality, which is both a blessing and a curse, the mistakes can be grave and irreversible. And so our sort of immediate roadmap is we'll be adding Ethereum support for our customers who have both Bitcoin and ETH. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to who have lost ETH or ETH assets on BlockFi or Celsius or Voyager because they didn't have any place they felt confident to withdraw to. For the same reason that they didn't withdraw their Bitcoin until they had a multi-sig fault in that same case. But, you know, more longer term, it's hard to speak too far in advance. But, you know, one of the things that I remember very vividly in my interview process with Nick, or the CEO, was we were talking about, I was like, oh, Casa's like a Bitcoin company. And he was like, well, we're a private key management company, actually. I didn't even realize that Casa's very first, like the founding of Casa was at the, with the very first winner of the Ethereum ETH Denver hackathon.
Okay.
So it was actually like the winning project there. And he was like, you know, but there's really a couple things. Like, we have to have an appropriate level of security and time tested, just like the Bitcoin script. And people have to want to secure their things with private keys, right? Like 2 years ago, Nostr didn't even exist.
Yeah.
2 years ago, passkeys, as far as like logging in, I mean, you know, you've got a YubiKey, right? But like, nobody wants to carry those YubiKeys. People have their phones, right? Because they already remember to keep this secure because it's got everything on it. And so I think you'll continue to see the net that private keys expand and offer. And, you know, I would love to see us go in that direction, but not my, I'm not high enough up on the totem pole to speak to longer term direction, but private key management is not going away. I can tell you that. And it will get easier because of companies like Casa.
Right.
So it's rewarding.
I completely agree with that. And it's funny that you bring that up because I know the Bitcoin community was up in arms about Casa integrating ETH into their product suite, right? But when you position the company as a key management company rather than just a Bitcoin company, it makes a lot more sense. And honestly, for me personally, I think that's very much needed, whether it be Bitcoin, let's say Ethereum, or even logging to Nostr related applications like that. Yeah, there are going to need to be proper key management companies telling people how to do it safely, securely, and really easily, too, with a great UX. That is the future in my mind.
And you see, like, I mean, the rabbit hole, I mean, we're starting to see, like, vulnerabilities with password managers. Like, with look at LastPass last year, right? Like, this is a catastrophic breach for so many people. And so, like, I mean, passwords are going away. And so I actually think, like, you know, crypto, Bitcoin, like all of that aside, like I actually think the killer app is credential logging in, because like what credentials are is so much wider than just money.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and so, yeah, there's going to be a continued, like our whole world is moving towards that. Just like 5 years ago, people never used password managers. Well, 10 years ago, everybody reused the same password. Right. Yeah. So.
And it was always steps. Password 123.
Or your birthday and like your name of your dog or something.
And it's so true though. So there's, as the internet gets more popular around the world, more people are using it, more assets are stored on the internet. There's more incentive for hackers to get.
And the later part of the bell curve is becoming adopters, right? Like the early adopters are the most technical.
Right.
The late adopters are the least technical, which means they have to have the best guided user experience around it in order for them to not screw it up.
Yeah. Where would you say we are on that bell curve for Bitcoin? Are we still very early adopters or?
Yeah, for sure. We are sort of at the beginning of the S curve. I think we're this decade will be the sort of early majority.
Right.
The last decade is definitely. We're crossing
over the chasm right now from early adopters to early majority.
I would say that like the S curve will be quite obvious 10 years from now. If I had to, you know, pontificate in the future, I think with the power of in 2035, 2034, that's like a 3-4 year, four halvings from now. I would imagine that if it is not the world reserve currency by that point, it is viewed as a competing world reserve currency, an alternative to a nation state reserve currency. Now, will there be resistance to that? Of course. I don't think that will ever stop, actually.
It's a good thing, honestly. Back to Casa real quick. So I'm curious, what's the culture like at Casa? I know you consider yourself a Bitcoiner. Is it filled with all Bitcoiners or is it a mix?
I'd say it's a mix. I think the biggest shared value is sovereignty. Because we are focused on empowering people to take custody of the assets that are important to them and the data that's important to them, our customer base is very sovereign minded. They don't want to leave their stuff on Coinbase. They don't trust Coinbase, right? And so, in order to cater to our customer base, we have to, of course, hire like-minded individuals at the company. And so, I think by far the ethos of sovereignty it is overwhelmingly evident across our employee base. And one of what's the word I'm looking for here? Like trust that you're going to get the work done, sort of autonomy. And I think that goes in line with sovereignty because we expect everyone to pull their weight. And at a small company, you don't have the luxury of not being able to do that, right? And it all goes back to the shared values. It's like, I expect you to provide and do your job because this is something that you have pride in, right? And when you have meaningful stake and ownership in what you do, care about it, right? And you look for people who also care about it. Because if you're like a tight-knit group that all really cares about the mission, and then you hire people who don't, there's a conflict. It can feel very attacking or undermining in some ways. And I think that's probably very common across our industry, is just sovereignty-minded, strong personalities, like very opinionated. This is what I think, and you're gonna know it, whether you want to or not. And the genuineness, that comes with those people like that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And comparing your old fiat jobs to your job with Casa now, what's like the key difference, either culturally or just like your day to day?
That, dude.
Being
My last
genuine,
job was like
sovereign.
everybody was just so happy to like earn a living, go to the bar after, and like do it all over again, look forward to the weekend. It was sad, dude. I was
Not a
like,
life worth living.
this is your existence. It's fucking sad. Like, I'm sorry for cursing. Like, it was, dude. It pulls out so much emotion in me, even when I think about it, which is why I just was like, I have to leave. I can't do this anymore. This is not what life is like. This is not what life's supposed to be like. And maybe that's some pie in the sky vision that isn't grounded in reality for me, but it's one that I hold deeply and I'm going to continue going towards. So
You made it a reality.
I think when you put your heart into something and don't take no for an answer, you will find it, man, truly. And when I decided that I wasn't going to just live on the hamster wheel, a shell of my existence, because I saw the emptiness inside of my coworkers everywhere, dude. It was sad. And the money that we were making was so good that people were like, well, I'll just do it for another 25, 30 years, and then I'll retire, and then I'll get to live the life I want. But
No, thank you.
cancer, heart attack, something, and you never get to live your life. What? That's the I mean, dude, that's maybe getting a little out there, but like, that is, in my opinion, evil, man. That is like, if you were to rob someone of their time, the most valuable, it ties into Bitcoin, right? Like, infinite money, not infinite time, there's a problem. When you rob someone of their most valuable asset that's finite, their time, their life, their joy, unforgivable, dude. That's why I'm so hostile to the fiat system now, because once I had that realization, I was like, this is not only not something I want to do, this is something I actively need to fight to bring down.
Yeah. And I think you're helping get the message out by coming on this podcast today. And dude, I love it.
I'm
I
sorry it
love
was intense for a minute there,
it.
man.
No, I love it, honestly. And that's exactly how I felt when I quit my job. I'm just like, I'm not doing this for another 50 years just to keep
No.
grinding for an incremental paycheck. And it's just not
Right.
worth
And I mean, before we started recording, I was like, how's your day? You're like, I'm grinding, man. But like, you
it.
didn't say it in like a this sucks way. It's like a there's infinite work to do because I have so many things that like I want to accomplish. And it's not like you have to accomplish them,
Yeah, I can do
right? You
whatever I
work for
want.
yourself.
Honestly, I can go
You work for
surf the boat.
yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly. But it's because you want to, you feel that calling, that purpose. And that's the difference between working in a job that you hate and one that you love. It doesn't feel like work.
Spot on. So tell me, what do you do day to day at your job at Casa as an account exec?
So I feed our new our feel our field our new sales inquiries from customers who are interested in signing up or want to learn more about the product and services that we offer.
So these are inbound.
And yeah, inbound mostly. We have an outbound like biz development team that does
Yeah.
that stuff, but so I do like our inbound, and then I also do like I'm the account manager for our premium customers, one of a couple, and I'm their Bitcoin guy, if for better or for worse. Like the anything that comes up, whether it's Bitcoin education, whether it's just like, hey, like what is how do I figure out what the mempool fees are to get my transaction in, like at the lowest fee, but still get through in time? Or like, hey, I lost my seed phrase, like what should I do?
Yeah.
Don't do that. But thankfully it was redundancy. So I mean I'm their dedicated Bitcoin advisor for most things. I would say there are a few of us, so it depends on who gets it, but for more like tech related stuff, like hardware, like troubleshooting, firmware stuff, know your strengths. That's not mine. I have my own hardware issues sometimes, but so we have a dedicated team for that. But yeah, basically like the liaison account manager for all of our premium customers, making sure they're happy, making sure that they haven't forgotten the most critical things. So literally doing like flight checks, and it's like, okay, like do you remember what PIN codes are? Do you? Because you'd be surprised, man. You'd be surprised that when you, and myself included, like I have typed in the wrong PIN code to my own hardware before and been like, wait, what is it? When you
Especially
don't do
nowadays,
this.
passwords and passcode management. Yeah, I have so many floating in my head.
Yeah, and it's like, God forbid something happens to my head. My family's in trouble. So people realize that as a point of failure and want to do something about it, particularly if they have large balances. And so I'm working with them to make sure that they jog their memory every once in a while, that they know what they need to know, that their family knows what they need to know. Anything like, hey, fees are low. Maybe it's time to do some consolidations because you got 500 UTXOs and that's going to be a pain later on when fees are high. Things like that. I try to add value preemptively, like in that when things like that, like, hey, by the way, fees are low right now. Just not sure if you thought of this, but maybe it's an opportune time for UTXO consolidation. Or hey, this UTXO has a lot of Bitcoin on it. Maybe you don't spend from that one, right, to buy a burger because you'll leak your privacy. Things like that. And let touch points along the way that because it is, you don't know what you don't know. So given
What's
that, I try to
your
drop
learning
some
journey
knowledge
been like
bombs.
since you joined Casa as an account exec? It sounds like you're, like you said, a Bitcoin guy, utility guy, solving a lot of problems throughout the day for clients. Yeah, what's your learning journey been like? You think you've learned a lot more since you joined?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd say like my knowledge of the protocol was pretty good before joining Casa, but I mean, my knowledge of wallets and public private keys, it's like tenfold what it was when I started. And then I started hosting the Denver BitDevs too. So that has
Oh,
really
nice. I didn't know
pushed, especially being like a sales account manager guy, like to
that.
run the BitDevs is definitely like out of my comfort zone. And so that has pushed me to continue learning on the technical side more. Yeah, it's I try to not talk about things that I'm not damn sure of because can't make a mistake.
Yeah, very true. That sounds like a very fun job. Curious, so someone listening right now, if they're looking to get into like the Bitcoin sales space for a Bitcoin company, what's a piece of advice you give to them?
Be genuine. I think that there's not enough genuine people in our industry, and that I will say that like many customers have told me that they have bought from me because they're like, you personally inspired confidence due to like how much you did not BS me. Like you just told me the truth. You said, hey, maybe this product's not for you. Maybe it is. I don't know. Let's find out. Let's ask consultative sales questions and determine, is this a good product for you? Does the price fit within the range that you're looking to spend? Right? So, and this goes beyond just Bitcoin, but you cannot sell something. You cannot ever position a solution to someone who doesn't recognize the problem. You are going to piss them off. Because you come off disingenuous. Because if you don't know what their problem is, how could you sell the solution? You're just selling the product because that's your job, because you are paid to do that. And that turns people off like crazy. So, and they won't even tell you that. But from my experience, from being in sales my whole career, you will. And so, listening to people, repeating their concerns, and not just repeating them, but truly listening and being like, look, I remember when my house got broken into and they stole my bicycle and not my ledger device. And I thought, haha, idiots, if you'd only stole that little hard drive, you'd have 1,000 bikes or whatever, you know? Like, so it's like, I think like truly listening to people, being genuine and putting your heart into it and not taking no for an answer, roadblocks are not ends, but just suggestions that that's not the path you should go down, right? It's actually a guiding light, right? Because I applied at other companies too. I did apply at BlockFi. Thank God, or I wouldn't have that job anymore, right? Because I had a friend who referred me there. And so I think that there's my favorite book I've ever read is The Alchemist, and the Tao Te
I read a
Ching
good
is
chapter.
Yeah, it's a great book. And they actually are very similar. Alchemist is fiction. Tao Te Ching's a kind of a ancient Chinese wisdom book, but they echo similar things. And going with the flow is one of them, and trusting in the process is another. So put your heart into something, go for it. Don't put 95, put 110.
Go on.
Create those cover letters that nobody else is going to do. And you know what that's going to show? That you want it more than them. And that is what you need to stand out. And then when things, roadblocks come, because they will, reframe that roadblock as an opportunity and a gift to show you that you were not going down the correct path. And good thing you aren't wasting any more time going down the wrong path here. Maybe let's try a different one. And eventually you will find the one that's fulfilling for you. Because I can tell you, man, I didn't want to. I like thought about quitting the financial industry for years, but I was making so much money that I was like, eh, morals, they can sit down. I'll just do this for a few more years. But the forcing function of having to go into a new industry and just not having any other choice because I was just like, nope, I've taken my high road. I'm not doing this anymore. At the time was so scary, dude. So scary. But like looking back, it's like, thank God that happened to me because I would have still been stuck in miserable fiat life.
It's like, what's the
So,
worst case scenario? Like, you quit your job in fiat and don't get a job in Bitcoin, and you just go back to fiat. Like, you're gonna be all right.
that's fine. Like, they're going to be
Best case
sending you
scenario,
stimmy
you have to
checks
love yourself.
anyway. So, like, what do you have to lose? Like, you're just going to be like, you know, on the fiat unemployment like everybody
Yeah,
else.
the
Like,
government will take care of you.
right, that Uncle Sam got you, don't you worry.
Before we wrap this up, too, this is what I experienced. I used to be in sales. I used to do real estate sales, a couple other small sales. I kind of sucked at it, honestly, because I never really believed in what I was selling. But then when I
Yeah.
came over to the Bitcoin space, sales kind of came more naturally to me. Did you experience the same thing going from the finance world to
100.
Bitcoin? Yeah.
I was good at the financial sales, but because I came from Merrill Lynch, when I went to Personal Capital,
Yeah.
which was a fiduciary, I felt very good about the difference. Because I was like, look, at my old job, I was paid to sell you shit, products. Just literally, I was paid to sell you a product, and if you bought it, I got a commission.
Yeah.
At
Your
Personal
intent
Capital,
is
they
always
were
fine.
misaligned. And at Personal Capital, they were fiduciaries, so they were legally obligated to put your interests ahead of the company's own. Which I was like, all right, I can sell this because I feel that is morally right. But then, hey, we should put these people in diversified bond portfolios that have 0% yield and are going to get absolutely destroyed. Oh, and by the way, there's no better options. And that they were right. Given the universe of what they could invest in due to their investment mandate, they were doing the best they could, right? But I just felt that I couldn't do that anymore. So yeah, man. It's like I just when you stop believing in something, you can't sell it. And it's because you won't be genuine about it.
Exactly.
So going back to what I was saying, just be genuine, find a job and a role that you're like, this speaks to me. And you'll be good at it. And you won't have to like you'll go to sleep at night feeling good about it. You'll wake up in the morning recharged and excited to crush the day and tell people about what you do. And you'll forget that you also get paid to do
The best
it.
part, right?
Sick.
Yeah. Oh man, I love that. I think you gave a ton of great advice during this podcast. Thank you so much for your time today, Zach. If you're ever in Denver, check out Denver BitDevs, right? And lastly, where can someone find you online? How can they get in contact with you or follow you on social media?
Yeah, so my personal Twitter is at BTC BAP, BTC BAP. I host the Value Stack podcast at Value Stack Pod. And you can find out more about Casa at keys.casa. You can reach out to me directly if you want like a private consultation. And in essence of being genuine, like, I will help you whether the solution for you is to create your own multi-sig Aspero, whether it's to use a hot wallet because you just started out, or whether it's a more concierge guided solution like Casa. Like, I feel like by being like a genuine, helpful person, you attract that same thing, right? And so anybody who needs help with Bitcoin custody or just wants to learn more about it, reach out to me. It's an open invitation. I won't charge you a penny,
You're the
but I
man,
might
Zach.
charge you sats. I might
Yeah.
charge you sats.
A fraction of a penny in sets. Yeah.
That's right. You
But
can
you're a
buy a fraction of a Bitcoin.
very genuine guy, Zach. I'm so glad we met at the conference last week. It was really great talking
Likewise,
to
man.
you. And then I'll be moving to Denver, like I said, in the wintertime. So hope to see you
You need
there
the
when I get there.
squad.
Yeah.
Heck yeah,
All right.
man. Well, just in time for ski season, so you'll be
Can't wait.
ready.
All right. See you, Zach.
Well, thanks for having me on too, man.
Yep.
Cheers, Art.